Yay! Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, November 22nd, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 5, page 69, in How It Works, starting with the fourth paragraph, beginning with God alone can judge our sex situation. And we'll be reading this one paragraph only, and ends on top of page 70. We avoid hysterical thinking or advice. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Gracie D. for the 12 steps, Des M. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Julie E.B., Jordan L., and Dawn B. Our newcomer greeter today is Janice P.M. and Reggie O. And for announcements, yes, Reggie O. for announcements there. Janice P.M. is our newcomer greeter. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, November 21st, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,702. That's 13702. And the share ID for this morning's our 7 a.m. November 22nd, 2019 Eastern Time meeting is 13,704. That's 13704. The OA pre-emblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence in the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Gracie D. to read our 12 steps. Gracie, good morning. Gracie D., star 1 to unmute, please. Hello? Gracie, are you there? Dawn? Dawn B., can you please read our 12 steps? Can anybody hear me? Can I be heard?
Yes. Good morning. This is Dawn B.
Thank you, Dawn.
Yes. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you for being of service today, Dawn B. And now we'll hear from Des M. for the 12th tradition. Des, good morning.
Good morning, Sherry. Des M., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach. These are the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. I think someone's unmuted. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Desmond, for being of service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the speaker should be muted, and that does include your mute button on your phone, your personal phone. So please star 1 to mute and unmute when you're sharing. We appreciate that. That way we can have a nice quiet meeting. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on chapter 5, page 69, and how it works. We're going to be reading the fourth paragraph only, and that paragraph begins with, God alone can judge our sex situation. And we're going to, and it finishes on top of page 70, ending in, we avoid hysterical thinking or advice. So today, Julie E.B. is going to read, get us started. Good morning, Julie. Star 1 to unmute, please. Are you there, Julie?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. We're all here. God's got us all today.
We'll all get on here eventually.
God alone can judge our sex situation. Counsel with persons is often desirable, but we let God be the final judge. We realize that some people are as fanatical about sex as others are loose. We avoid hysterical thinking or advice. And as I said, I'm Julie, gratefully recovered in Colorado. And this is a beautiful paragraph that I would move to a place where by the grace of my higher power, I have this voice. It's both a deep, calming inner voice that tells me that I'm okay, but it's also something so much larger than me. My higher power is a power greater than me. I look at rocks in the Garden of the Gods and trees and snow that's falling outside. These aren't things that I can make happen. And each of these things, each of these times I notice that my higher power is greater than me. Each of the times I pray the simplest Big Book prayer, God, do for me what I cannot do for myself. It becomes a promise that God will do for me what I cannot do for myself. I realize that I'm not in the judging business. I cannot be judging. I have overhead prayers in the background. That's kind of funny. So counsel with people is often desirable. You know, I used to reach out with other people, and what I wanted from them, as someone said in the earlier meeting, was to co-sign my insanity, co-sign my sick thinking, and I would want people to tell me that it's okay, everything's okay, the way you're doing it is okay. And I'll never forget one outreach call that I made, and I called a fellow, and I said, oh, and this happened, and this happened, and then he did this, and, you know, I have to take care of my boundaries, and I have to do this and this, and the person said to me, well, you know, boundaries are also judgments. And that took me aback, and I was like, well, this isn't the warm fuzzies that I expect. But now I do expect that in my recovery outreach 10 steps. Not unkindness, but I do pause and listen, especially if something hits me hard, to figure out why it hits me hard and what it's bumping up against. Because that same person went on and said the following, what if what happened today was exactly what your higher power wanted to have happen? And that just blew me away, that even the problems in my life, even the disturbances in my life, even my own brokenness, I mean, I've already done several 10 steps today for my own disruption and for hurting someone. I've already made an apology today. People are fanatical, and in this matter of sex, it's especially exacerbated, but sex or any harm, hysterical thinking or advice, I no longer need to be what I call swinging from either controlling everything or being compliant. God has shown me the opposite to pray for is speaking the truth time. Non-urgently in God's time. So that's why I always seek to live today. And I am appreciative of all of my fellows in this program. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Julie B., for getting us started. So, again, I'm just going to remind everybody, we're on Chapter 5, How It Works. We're on page 69, the fourth paragraph, beginning with, God alone can judge our sex situation. And we're going to read through that, and we've read through that one paragraph, and we're going to have comments on that paragraph only, on the fourth paragraph on page 69. Who would like to share this morning?
Christina J.
Okay, Christina J. I heard
Kathy
somebody
B. Kathy D.
Is that Kathy B or G as in George?
D as in doors.
G as in George. Thank you. And then I think I heard, was that Kara L?
Yep.
Oh, all right. All right.
All right.
Oh, yay. Okay, so we have, we can go for three more. Jump on in. The water's warm. Get started here.
Good morning. This is Christina J. Oh, sorry.
Not
are
yet,
you
Christina, I'm but so thank you.
Right.
We need three more. Come on, jump on in, everybody.
Donna B.
Okay, I heard Donna B.
Gracie B.
Evan B.
Okay, I heard Evan. Was that Evan B as in Baker?
Yes.
Okay, thanks, Evan. And then I heard Gracie D. All right,
Marilyn
so I have our... I'm sorry, who was that?
Marilyn T.
Marilyn, I will take you in the next round. You'll be our
Thank
first
you.
One, okay? Thanks, Marilyn.
Okay.
All right, so we've got Christina J., Kathy G., Kara L., Donna B., Evan B., and Gracie D. All right, Christina J., please get us started.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Christina J., a recovered compulsive overeater in the state of Washington this morning. So here we are in How It Works, and we are talking about sex, and we have been. It's been incredible for me. The last several days I've been crying and laughing and feeling so grateful to be a part of this wonderful group who are willing to share their vulnerability, their honesty, and wanting to recover because this is what it takes to tell our stories. So here we are, and this paragraph, we're kind of indirectly and directly getting kind of a setup for the next chapter where we get to do our inventories, and we're getting some subtle warnings. Some beautiful subtle warnings here and some promises all throughout this chapter. So this paragraph gives us peace. God alone can judge our sex situation. Try to say that fast three times. But let God be the final judge. This gives me great peace because my God is loving, compassionate, understanding, and he knows that when I was younger and I was doing all kinds of things to get love and attention because I didn't know how to go about getting love and attention because of the way I was raised, the things I learned from my parents that weren't healthy, God bless them, they were doing the best they could, and MTV and all the other images out there on the magazines and how a girl's supposed to be and what she's supposed to do to get love and attention and sex and all this. And God knew that I was lost and confused. He knew that that wasn't the good moral character he was going to give me later through a painful addiction that brought me to my knees. So this paragraph, like I said, gives me peace and serenity knowing that as I do my inventory, and my sponsor's not going to judge me, and she didn't. When I revealed my affairs and things I did sexually when I was younger and unconscious, really, of my actions, and innocent, she held space, she was quiet, she was lovely, she said, I've done it too, we've all done things, so you don't have to be afraid, you don't have to be ashamed, and you don't have to be guilty. And I felt like a ton of bricks fell off my shoulders, and I wept, because these things are hard to carry around, and our bodies reflect what we're carrying, and the food we stuff in to stuff those things down, they damage us further. So the fact that this is giving us peace, that God is going to be the final judge, and what is our higher power who created us, he's love and he's compassion. So have peace as you go into this, and we've all done things, and it's okay. We're going to get through it, and we're going to build moral character, and we're going to live our lives according to these sound ideals that we're developing through this program. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Christina J. Kathy G., you're up, followed by Kara L. Kathy, good morning.
Good morning. It's Kathy D., as in, I guess, dog.
Well, thanks for letting me know that, Kathy D. Thanks,
no
Kathy
problem.
D. Go ahead, please.
No problem. I am right here, right now, in this work, doing, I just did 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. I'm working on 8th and 9th, and it's really interesting. So many things are kind of popping into my head, but I have worked a step many, many years ago, and I thought that I had covered, like, all the old boyfriends and all that, and for some reason, this time around, I was making my list of those I had harmed, what I had done, and what I thought my amends should be to go over with my sponsor, and a couple old boyfriends are coming into my mind, and I have been getting quiet with God and asking him, you know, what do I do here? And to be honest, I don't yet have an answer, but I'm definitely pondering that and trying to get a sense of what my higher power would have me do. And it's also interesting, so I've been in 12-step programs, even in OA, a long, long time. I had a long period of abstinence, 10 years in recovery, and this inventory was the first time that I was able to look back, and like the previous speaker, I became promiscuous in my younger years. When I was 13, it started when my parents got divorced, and this inventory and fifth step and everything I'm doing is the first time I've been able to look back and actually really see that I harmed others, even at a young age. It was too hard and painful for me to look at this before in the past. But now I can see that even at age 13, my character defects, my instincts had run amok, and I was trying to feel better using a lot of different methods that harmed others. And I can, and today I'm able to see with compassion, but also clarity, that yes, I did hurt others. I can still have compassion for that girl, but I can still own that, you know what? Wow, the stuff that I did, it was pretty harsh. So anyways, and one last thing is my husband and I, we got married late, and because of all the harm I had done sexually, we were actually able to shape an ideal and get married without having sex before marriage. And that was incredibly healing in my life. And God alone, you know, judged that and led us that way. And it was kind of a miracle. So anyway, I have a lot of work still to do. I'm thankful to be on the meeting this morning. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Kathy D. Kara L., you're up, followed by Donna B. Kara, good morning.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you to my fellows who are doing service on the meeting today and bringing the meeting to us. Love to hear your voices. Sex. I always think of that song, "Let's Talk About Sex, Baby." But really, this time through the steps, I think this was my most freeing part of my fourth step, was the sex is not that I hadn't mentioned it before, but just the format and looking at not only the physical acts, but also the emotional acts that, you know, where did I arouse jealousy, suspicion, bitterness? It might not have had a physical component, but I too, you know, was promiscuous younger and used others for attention. You know, I felt bad about myself, and if I wasn't controlling or doing something in my food, then I was using sex and that getting attention from other people. And in this format really allowed me to see that, and it really allowed me, you know, what should I have done instead? And this paragraph in particular just reminding me that I'm human, and that my loving God is the one that's going to help me through this and show me the way. And what I have to do is be honest and get it out and tell another person and write it all out. And then look at it and let God, you know, ask God, give me intuition, give me inspiring thought, a decision, how to handle this situation and move from situation to situation like that until the wreckage of my past, those roadblocks that I place between me and my higher power are cleared up. And it was so freeing to go back to, you know, somebody I hadn't seen in 30 years and just apologize for using them, you know, and not being a kind person to them. And it just freed my spirit so much. And I have a few more that I haven't found yet that I will ask my higher power how to move forward on. And those will clear me. And this very last inventory, I had one thing. I mean, I've done sex inventories before, and I always held back one thing. And I was even going to hold it back this time, and I looked at my sponsor, and I said, I already told my husband, and I just didn't want to say it. And finally, I just heard, you will not be free. And so I told her, and she laughed and said, me too. And it was a huge, I'm so free. And it was worth it just for that moment and just that sense of whew, there's another roadblock out of the way between me and my higher power. Because that's my job, is to clear those roadblocks. So I'm ever so grateful from all of you. I'm ever so grateful that we are moving forward together as a community and in fellowship. Have a lovely weekend, everyone. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathy D. And Kara L., you're up, followed by Donna B. Good morning, Kara.
That was me.
Sorry. Sorry, you guys. Thanks, Carol. Donna B., you're up, followed by Evan B.
This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling in from Denver, Colorado. I'm really moved this morning by every single person saying almost the exact sentence, which is, I was promiscuous when I was young. And part of the process of recovery for me, recovering a sense of my goodness, recovering a sense of my belonging and presence in the world, is letting go of the shame of my past. And sometimes that's made possible just by hearing the stories of my fellows and seeing that I'm not so unique, I'm not so different, I didn't do bad things because I'm a bad person, I didn't come up with these horrible strategies and ideas for living, you know, sort of combusted out of nowhere, but somehow I can see that this disease led many of us down the same paths that led us to make the same decisions that brought us to this moment in time together. And I'm so grateful for the power of the stories that we tell each other and for the power of witnessing each other. And of course, in my own recovery, the power of being witnessed. We avoid hysterical thinking and advice. I think that that's a really important sentence. When I'm in my own self-will, there's a very high likelihood, because I have been absolutely convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success, that my thinking is going to be hysterical. So I reach out to others. And I think there's a little bit of a warning in that sentence too, which is that I don't reach out to just anybody. I don't reach out to, anyone at all. I reach out to people that I see have experienced recovery. I reach out to people who appear to be calm and measured and to be free of that very critical thinking of themselves and of others, so that when they hear me and see me, their thinking is free of hysteria, and they can offer me guidance that is free of hysteria. Thanks for letting me share.
And Evan B., you're up, followed by Gracie D. Good morning, Evan.
Hi, good morning. This is Evan B., also here from Los Angeles, California. I think the one sentence from this reading that really speaks to me is, like other people said before, we avoid hysterical thinking. I mean, I really think about that all the time. And when I'm caught up in my disease and I'm caught up in the impulsivity of it, and I just get up from my seat and just go bolt over to get whatever, and I just have the thinking like, oh, I'm never going to do this again, or I always do this, or nobody likes me, or nobody loves me, or everybody loves me. And it's just, I see it in my siblings, like they have this very extremism, the way they talk, like we're on top of the world, or like, oh, everything's going wrong. And, you know, it's like, it is one way to live, but it's not the way that I feel the best. You know, the moments that I've had the serenity, the moments that I've had that connection to a higher power, I'm not hysterical. In fact, I'm really calm and measured, and it feels so good to not be so needy and desperate to change my state. Which is what I think this all comes down to, is that we're all needy and desperate to change our states, which is how we fall into this. But when that peace takes over and that higher power takes over, and you're like, you know what? I'm okay exactly the way I am right now. And you don't feel a need to change yourself. It is like such a wonderful feeling. I'm still really early on in my recovery, to be honest with everybody here, and I struggle still a lot. I still have a ways to go. But I do experience small little bouts of recovery, and I'm grateful for that. And in time, I'll get better. And I really am grateful for these calls, because I recently just got a job, so I'm able to do these calls now because I couldn't do a sponsor, so I was getting hysterical about never being able to make a meeting. So, that's just the one sentence that really pops out at me, and wanted to mention that. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan B. And before we hear from Gracie D., I'm just going to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 69, paragraph 4. So as soon as we hear from Gracie D., and then Marilyn's going to be first, then I'll take some more names. Gracie D., good morning.
All right. Thank you. This is Gracie D. in Southern California, grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. And I'm sorry for the phone mess up earlier. I too really appreciate the ending of this little paragraph. We can talk to other people, but we let God be the final judge. We realize that some people are as fanatical about sex as others are loose, and we avoid hysterical thinking or advice. It is a sensitive subject, and thankfully, there's a ton of good sponsors out there who are recovered enough to have this personality of calmness and rationality and encouragement regarding a conversation about sex. But and I need them because, again, I would go toward hysteria or impulsiveness. Oh, my God, I've sinned against so many people. I'm so horrible. And it's great to have somebody to calm that down. And I'm really appreciative even for Bill W. and his spiritual walk where he was able to give advice like this. We are to be so passionate about this program. You know, it's a program of action. We move forth. There's enthusiasm and there's passion. But on the other hand, calm down. Everything that we do is thoughtful and meaningful. And if not as a team, it's more as a spiritual, you know, we're bonded to our fellows. I don't know. I really appreciate that. And thank you all for being here this morning. You've really encouraged me. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Gracie D. So I'm going to take some more names. I have Marilyn T. Who else would like to share this morning?
Kathy G.
Kathy G. I think I heard Patty D. Patty T.
Patty T.
Gotcha, Patty.
Thank you.
Robin T.
Okay, three people came in at once. I couldn't hear anything.
Robin T.
Robin P.
Chris K.
Is that Chris K?
Yeah.
All right, gotcha, Chris. One more.
Jordan L.
Gotcha, Jordan. All right, so we have our lineup. Marilyn T., Kathy G., Patty T., Robin P., Chris K., Jordan L. And if we have time, I'll take some more in case. But Marilyn T., please go ahead. Good morning, Marilyn.
Good morning, all Friday people. This is Marilyn T., recovering compulsive overeater in Monterey Bay. What I looked at this, I'm on my fourth step right now, doing it and having had done it multiple times before and even as recently as a year and a half ago. But what's interesting this time, the sex conduct is an interesting situation. My son passed away, but here's what came about. I really didn't have a relationship with my ex-husband before my son's passing. And I now am making an ideal of how to actually be a good ex-partner in a relationship with another struggling person who's suffering in grief. And here with God, I get to make an ideal of how I would treat someone who is suffering. And despite the past, we don't regret the past. We don't wish to, you know, change it. We simply accept it and we simply move on. And how can I be a spiritual person in a spiritual life and be able to be of service to someone who's hurting just as much as I am, and also get to be true to my son's memory? And I thank God I am going through this right now. I really thank God that I have a chance to turn to him and not to hysterical thinking or advice, and that I get to be one of his children, and he loves me very much. Thank you. I pass.
Marilyn T. Kathy G., you're up, followed by Patty T. Kathy, good morning.
Good morning, Sherry. Thanks so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. It's Kathy G., recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois. Grateful to be here today. And first, I just want to give a shout out to any newcomers who are on the line who just came onto the line because they have an eating disorder and they want to figure out how to stop eating compulsively or how to stop throwing up or how to maybe eat if they're anorexic. I just want you to know we're here. We have not forgotten you. We're talking about sex all week, and if you came on, it might seem really weird. I got a heads up to this when I was at a face-to-face meeting last night, and the girl was just having a hard time connecting, so I wanted to make sure that you know you're at the right place. We just happen to be talking about an area that is deeply connected to all that we are, really, and we find out in this program that we are using food, either eating, purging, not eating enough, to medicate underlying spiritual and emotional issues that we have that we don't know what to do about. So that's why we're here talking about this today. And as I read this, it makes me think about my first marriage and the self-centeredness I had in that marriage. You know, I think I came by it rightly. I had modeling in my home growing up where my parents had a really dramatic, dysfunctional relationship where they were in the high drama, maybe like it's like they either were almost like running off together in like a romantic situation or they were not talking to each other. So I kind of got sex and love confused, and it created a lot of problems in my life. And I kind of thought that relationships should be all about this high drama, high stakes romance with flowers coming in, and we're going to go off to Hawaii and we're going to, you know, do whatever we do. And that would be the sign of a bright, flourishing, healthy relationship. But what I am learning in my second beautiful marriage, healthy marriage, where I actually had been in the 12-step rooms and had learned a lot and come to terms with a lot of my self-centeredness and laid it down, and I actually dared to invite God in when we were dating and say, God, you know, what would you have me do? And then I actually, you know, picked up the call and took his advice, and that is something that I will never, ever regret, because my husband and I have this bond because we waited for certain things, and we just cherished that sexual relationship, and it was such a great gift for us, and it still is. So I'm just grateful to be in a place with people of, you know, such high courage that we can talk about these things freely on this line and just do our best to grow into our ideals, you know, one day at a time with each other. So thanks so much. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy T. Patty T, you're up, followed by Robin P. Good morning, Patty.
Hi, Sherry. Thank you so much for your service. This is Patty T, recovering in Southern California. You know, I've been listening to this. Are you there? Can you hear me? Hello?
Go ahead, Patty.
Oh, okay. So this whole week I've been listening to this chapter, and so many feelings have come up. So I just decided I guess I need to share about it. God alone can judge our sex situation. And goodness knows I haven't allowed God to do that alone. I've judged my own. I had a parent who sexualized my body from the time I was a small child. I had a lot of incestuous type abuse within my immediate family, and I had a lot of external sexual abuse, molestations as a young child from outsiders, not to mention an attempted rape. So it was a lot of negativity and fear around the sex act for me, but more importantly around intimacy of any kind, because the people who said they loved me and were in the roles to love and protect me did not do that. So, you know, I have a lot of resentment about sex and its part and the part it plays in human relationships. Because my response as an addict was to isolate myself so I could never cause harm to anyone. My response was to just try to live my life as giving as I could from an arm's distance and never, ever find or act with intimacy, because I didn't know how to give at all without giving myself completely away. Sex is an enigma to me, and I'm 64 years old now, and somehow God is opening all of this fear, shame, anger, and resentment up over this last week. And while it's painful, I really appreciate it because I think it's time for that to heal. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Patty T. Robin P., you're up, followed by Chris K. Robin, good morning.
Thank you, Sherry. Thanks so much. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And I had such a wonderful time at the conference. I wish it was still happening. So I grew up in a lot of child abuse and sexual child abuse, and I've had to do a lot of inventory work and therapy work. And, you know, I'm very grateful. I'm so happily married today. And I was married for 11 years to my husband, and we got divorced, and I wasn't attracted to him. There was a lot of pain that we went through, and 3 years ago, when I was in recovery for about a year, he invited me to go to Christmas Eve service with him, and I heard God say, "Merry Christmas, this is my gift to both of you." And we started dating again. And we moved in together, and we got remarried during the wildfires last year in Los Angeles. We lived there and at the time, and in November, on November 10th. And I always felt like the first marriage, we spiritually went through the fires, and the second marriage, we literally got married in the fires. And our friend's house where we were having our wedding reception burned down to the ground the night before our wedding. And our honeymoon resort burned down to the ground the night before our wedding. So we had our wedding, our reception, and our honeymoon at our church rectory. And I think we're the only ones who ever did that. And, you know, it's such a blessing to be happily married. I'm eternally grateful for second chances. And I am attracted to my husband. And I feel like, you know, the years of locusts got restored through this program. And I'm eternally grateful for a vision for you. And I carry the love in my heart with me. God bless all of you. I pray that you all have a very abstinent, wonderful weekend. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. Chris K., you're up, followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Chris. Chris K.?
This is Chris K., recovering compulsive overeater. I am abstinent, and I find that the only way I live is with frozen feelings. When my feelings are out, they are so volcanic, all I can do, and I've done for my whole life, is freeze them to protect other people from them. I don't know how else to do them. When I try to express them with my four-step to my sponsor, they seem to be horrified and just shocked. And when I try to talk about it, I always get the brief feedback. When I talk to you, I want to go and eat. So I keep it all to myself. And I don't think that's serenity. For a long time, I kid myself that this frozen feeling was serenity. And it wasn't, because it's too painful. But I don't know where to. I don't know how to process it. I don't know where to go with it. It's all so stuck. And I'm stuck in my voice. And I just feel stuck with my pain. I myself just keep it frozen. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just have always, my whole life, don't want to hurt anybody. And that has been my goal. I don't want to hurt anybody. I'd rather hurt myself than hurt anybody. So, night passed.
Well, thank you, Chris K. Keep coming back. Welcome home. Jordan, now you're up, and I think you'll take us out this morning. Jordan, good morning. Jordan,
good morning, Sherry. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Thanks, Jordan. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. My name is Jordan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Crested Butte, Colorado this morning, and super grateful to be on the line with you all. 100%. This is why I can't attempt this alone. Because by the time I get to, maybe it's the resentment section of my inventory, maybe it is the fear section of my inventory, maybe it is the conduct part of my inventory. It's just not a good idea to try to face up to this stuff alone. We need each other. We need each other for guidance and support, and maybe it's not even that. Maybe it's just someone to bear witness so that we know we're not alone going through all this, you know? Because it's just not easy. It's not an easy thing to face up to. So anyway, I wanted to focus in on that sentence, God alone can judge our sex situation. That includes me. That includes eliminating my judgment.
I'm sorry,
Jordan,
to interrupt you. I just could somebody please mute? We can hear noise background. We'd like to hear a meeting. Could everybody make sure they're muted? Thanks. Dornell, please go ahead. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Sherry. So that includes me. That includes me not judging my own sex situation, right? I am in, what would you call it, like an unconventional relationship. the guy that I'm with and have been for the last 4 years now, he's a lot older than me. And when people hear about it, they make lots of judgments. Or at least I thought they were. And that's what came up for me with fear when I was judging my own situation. Like, wait a second, this isn't right. This isn't what it's supposed to be. This isn't the way it's supposed to look. And there was, like, this dissonance there. There was, like, a disconnect between what I thought was supposed to be and the way that I actually felt. Because the fact of the matter is, like, as far as I can tell, he's the guy for me, man. He's the type of person that, after spending a day with him, I felt like I had known him for 15 years, you know? It's just the way it is. Like, you know, we don't get to choose who it is that we have that sort of connection with. Like, it just happens. So I'm finally, after all this time, getting to a place where I'm no longer judging that situation either. It is what it is. And then when you meet him, you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. It's just a beautiful thing, this lack of judgment. And it can spill over into anything. It can happen in my career life. It can happen in my sexual relationship. It can happen anywhere. It truly is like a way of being in this world. So with that, that's all I got. Thank you for letting me share this morning.
Thank you, Jordan L. What a beautiful meeting this morning, everybody. That's all the time we have today. Just want to thank everybody for your beautiful shares this morning and all who listened and participated. I want to take the time to thank Team Friday. Let's see, we got Gracie D and Don B, Des M, Julie E.B., Jordan L., Janice P.M., and Reggie O. And just give you all a big thank you for this wonderful meeting this morning. And now we're going to hear from Jordan L. She's going to read our closing on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Jordan?
Good morning again. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you in.